You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby.
Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times. Look, now I'll start the melody on the organ.
It's Feather Rock with Bill and Ella. It's Feather Rock and sometimes Liam. It's Feather Rock time. It's time for Feather Rock.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, music for kids and their grown-ups. Bill Childs with you, as I am every week. Come to you from our flagship station, KUTX 98.9. Music here from They Might Be Giants. It's Definition of Good.
Smiling at clam jokes. Oh, definition of good. Conversations in fake Russian accent. Food that's colored wrong. Ping pong balls are eyes. Blanket over the dinner table makes a house. Spin until you fall down. President in a wig. Cardboard box at a large appliance came. Of good, two flamingos engaging in a fruit fight. Oh, definition of good, listening to the work of Captain Beefheart. Paper cup for a snout, everyone in a pile, mixing pieces from two different board games, sleeping in the bathtub, candy wax lips. In a larger version of itself. Oh, definition of good. Unbelievably real shadow puppets. Masterminding a scheme. Hide and seek with a dog. Arm that stretches around the world and taps your arm. Oh, definition of good. Understanding a complicated puzzle. Laughing at the same thing, looking into your eyes, knowing everything that the other is thinking.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, and we are joined via Zoom by longtime friend of the show, Jeff Giles. I was looking back at my email, Jeff, and I believe the first time I interacted with you was 2007, when I had a, what, 5-year-old and 8-year-old, and I guess your kids were also rather young, right?
Like one in two and an infant. Yeah, they were very, yeah, things were very different then. It's been a while.
But it's great to have you here. You could kind of give the folks the idea. The way that I knew you first was that you were writing about kids' music and thinking about kids' music, and you were one of the people who thought that media and entertainment for children should be done intelligently without condescension. You, like a normal person, as your kids have aged out, have stopped thinking about kids' music. Here I am still with adult children doing kids' music radio show. What else have you been up to for the last, 17 years?
Wow. That is a big
question. You don't
have to give
it all.
I do a lot of writing. I have published, we're here to talk about my new book. It's the third book I published. My first novel, the first book that I put out was an oral history of the soap opera One Life to Live. And the second one was a book of facts about beer. And now we're talking about this novel. So those are three things that I've done. Obviously, I had a day job to work. After the first time you and I spoke, I started a website called Pop Dose that is still going. Still going strong.
And you do a pretty popular podcast, The Record Player.
I do. I co-host a podcast called The Record Player with Mr. Matt Wardlaw, who is a host for Ultimate Classic Rock Radio. We talk to a whole bunch of different people about music that they love and whatever project they are promoting. Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of promoting, the thing that you are here to talk about and to play some music from, really, where you're going to do a guest DJ set here, but I'm thinking about the range of books you've done, One Life to Live, Beer, and this very funny book that I, as in an email to you, I described as being a little bit of Douglas Adams, a little bit of The Good Place, and a lot of you, which is a very positive thing for people who don't know you. It's called Langley Powell and the Society for the Defense of the Mundane. And I can't think of somebody who has done that weird of a mix of things. Tell us a little bit about the book.
It is, by the way, your description, I wish I had asked you for a blurb because that that made my day. That was fabulous. It is a supernatural comedy about a world-renowned debunker of paranormal phenomena who dies in a freak accident and is very annoyed and embarrassed to discover that he has become a ghost. And and hijinks ensue from there.
They do indeed. And while we're on a children's radio show, it is not a book for children, but it's probably appropriate for, like, what, middle grades, high school and up, something like that?
Yeah, when I started this, I envisioned it as a book for middle grade readers. I have since been told by multiple people that it is not that. But yeah, it's very... When I say that it's not that, I'm not saying that it's unsafe for young readers. There's nothing objectionable in there. It's just, I'm an old guy, and I think there are a lot of references in the book that somebody who is a middle grade reader probably would not understand.
I think that's fair, and I want to get to the music pretty quick here, but I thinking back, I think I was in maybe sixth grade the first time I read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I don't want to say this is like exactly like that at all, but it's sort of a similar vibe, and there were, when I have gone back and read Douglas Adams' books, lots of things I missed the first time around, but also lots of things that when I was reading it at that age, I thought, I want to know a little bit more about that. I cannot Google those things, but I could at least figure out some of it, and if you've got a kid, let's just put it this way, who is reading Hitchhiker's Guide and enjoying it, this might be all right. There are lots of other comps, but that's the one that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. When I was in eighth grade, I had an English teacher who would only allow us to write reports on books from a list that he pre-selected, and I was the kind of kid who did not appreciate that sort of guidance, and so I picked Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance off this list because it sounded like a wacky good time, and if you've read that book, it is not a wacky good time. It is... all about metaphysics, and it really kind of blew my little eighth grade mind, but it kind of pulled me in directions that I wouldn't probably have gone without something like that. So yeah, it's a little above it's a little over the head of your average middle grade reader in a lot of respects, but there's nothing that is going to upset you about it.
Maybe it's a stretch goal. So you've picked five songs that appear in the book. Why don't you give us a quick idea of sort of how you think of music as being part of this book, and then you can talk about the first song that we're going to play.
Well, my background is a music writer, and so, you know, even though this was not envisioned as a musical book, and I didn't do a lot of the musically inclined or oriented stuff that's in it on purpose, it just sort of happened. It bled into the book. Some of it's sort of explicit, like toward the end, the first song that we're gonna play is a Mose Allison song called Your Mind is on Vacation. And that there are actually lyrics from that song in the book toward the end. I don't want to give too much away, but that's one of the more that's one of the more obvious ones. And then, you know, a little later, we're going to play a song called The Boy in the Bubble by Paul Simon. That is referenced by the main character, Langley Powell, in the first chapter, which I believe you've read. He has these, you know, he's a popular speaker. He goes around talking to people about how the paranormal isn't real. And he's sort of a celebrity of the type that I'm not sure we really get anymore. But, you know... he's the kind of guy who would have been on game shows with Paul Lynde and Charo maybe in the 70s, you know, and he's talking about how he's buddies with Paul Simon. I don't know how much further you want me to...
I think that's good. Let's just go ahead and get into the song. It's Mose Allison, Your Mind is on Vacation. Guest DJ set from Jeff Giles, author of Langley Powell and the Society for the Defense of Mundane. You can get information about that book, by the way, at langleypowell.com.
You're sitting there yakking right in my face. I guess I'm gonna have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise a dime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. quoting figures and dropping names. You're telling stories about the dames. You're over laughing when things ain't funny. You're trying to sound like the big money. You know if Tog was criminal, you'd lead a life of crime. Because your man is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. Short, talk is cheap. Don't be making promises that you can't keep. If you don't like this little song I'm singing, just grin and bear it. All I can say is if the shoe fits a wet and you must keep talking, please try to make it rhyme. Because your man is on vacation and your mouth is working.
That's what I feel now. Let's call the song.
Aretha Franklin there, rock steady, second in the guest DJ set here from Jeff Giles, author of the new book, Langley Powell and the Society for the Defense of the Mundane. Information about that at langleypowell.com, out now, published by Humorist Books, available in many places that you get books. I don't know about all the places you get books, but some of them anyway. Tell us a little bit about Aretha Franklin, Rocksteady, how that plays in to the book, if you can do so without spoiling again.
Oh, well, one of the good things about writing a story that largely takes place in the afterlife is that you can involve characters who are no longer with us. And Aretha, I'm not going to divulge exactly how she fits into the story, but she plays a fairly major role in the way the story concludes. Okay. Prior to that, you get to see Albert Einstein, who, no big surprise, he's probably made a lot of appearances in books that take place in the afterlife. You also get to see J. Edgar Hoover.
I just got past the J. Edgar Hoover book, so it's very exciting.
Tom Petty makes an appearance at one point.
When that's what we're coming up with next year, Free Fall.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad breaking her heart.
It was 7:45 on the line to meet the teacher, Miss Kathleen. First was Kevin, then came Lucy, third in line was me. All of us were ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood at the back of the line, a smile beneath her nose. Her favorite number was 20, and every single day. If you ask her what you had for breakfast, this is what she'd say. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and a tangerine, a side on a ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Cynthia wore the prettiest dress with different color socks. Sometimes I wonder if the mates were in her lunchbox. Me and Lucy opened it with Cynthia one around. Lucy cried, almost died. You know what we found.
Starfish and coffee,
maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds, tangerine, and a side on a ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you'd understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Oh, just like the one she draws on every wall, in every school. But it's alright, it's for worthy cause. Gonson, I keep saying starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds, tangerine, side on a ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam.
All right, that's Prince, Starfish and Coffee. Does Prince make an appearance in the book, Jeff?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Prince is not... Prince... No, actually, he is explicitly named. I will tell you that when I started writing this book, I did not believe that I had a novel in me. At no point in my life have I ever thought I could write a novel. And so when I had the idea for this... It was, you know, you're a creative guy. Maybe you're familiar with this sort of concept, is that you get these ideas and you think, oh, that's great, and I wish somebody else would do it. And then you try to push it aside, and it just keeps nagging at you until you finally say, fine, I'll do it. I decided I was going to try to give it a shot, but I, like I said, I didn't think I could write a whole book about myself. So I reached out to a buddy of mine named Brian Boone. And I said, here's an idea. How about if we collaborate on this? This is the concept. I write a chapter, you write a chapter, so on and so forth. We started out that way. It didn't last very long. He wrote it. I wrote the first chapter. He wrote a second chapter. And then I just kind of barfed out a few. And at that point, he was like,
you're actually writing this book, Jeff.
Yeah, this is yours. It was his idea to make Prince the president of the United States in the afterlife, which didn't turn out being the case in the book, but I did have Prince in mind for something pretty major, and so yes, you will meet Prince as you get into the book. He's there toward the end, and he's fundamental, man. I think a lot of people would agree that he's a big deal.
So one thing I forgot to mention in the introduction is that you and I worked together on a release on Spare the Rock Records, the Keep Hope and Machine Running release, which, yes. Wonderful tribute to Woody Guthrie, just an amazing collection of artists. We play stuff from it still pretty often, and it's generated, I think, over $10,000 for the Woody Guthrie Foundation. And we have talked for literally years now about doing another album, and I still, yes, want to do it.
So do I.
It's one of those things that there's like, 999 ways to do it poorly and one way to do it well, and we just got to figure out how to do it well. But we will. We'll get there.
It's music to my ears. I hope we do. I'm not going to say what we've been talking about, but I think it's a timely concept, and it's something that we really, really need to do.
I agree. We're going to finish up here with Jeff Giles. His new book is Langley Powell and the Society for the Defense of the Mundane, out now on Humorous Books. You can go to langleypowell.com. And we're going to finish up with Paul Simon, The Boy and the Bulb. You've already talked about Paul Simon, or the reference to Paul Simon in the book. Jeff, thanks for coming on. It's really good to see you, man.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
And the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to a song. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It was a dry wind, and it swept across the desert and curled into the circle of blue. And the dead sand falling on the children, the mothers and the fathers and the automatic earth. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It's a turnaround jump shot, it's everybody jump start. It's every generation throws a hero up the pop charts. Medicine is magical and magical is art. Think of the boy in the bubble and the baby with the babbling heart. And I believe these are days of lasers in the jungle. Lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals of constant information. A loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and baby. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is a long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in the corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry.